Radhastami 2012 on Coverdon Hill.
Heartfelt gratitude to all of you who have assembled here today and who have assisted in the preparations for the worship of this most glorious occasion, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani and Srimati Anuradha, Sri Vishakha Devi, who appeared at the exact same instant. The glories of Srimati Radharani constitute the very essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, for which that exalted scripture is awarded the highest status of worship amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, to which the obvious question follows: why is it that Srimati Radharani's name is not even mentioned in that scripture? It is. Anayagarita Nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishwara. Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is the Shuka of Shri, meaning the pet parrot of Srimati Radharani, who is very fond of chanting her glories, was assigned the most thankless task of staying on in this world after Shri Radha and Krishna and the rest of the Brijavasis entered into the Aprakat Lila. The reason being to emphasize her exclusive glories, and therefore we hear repeated throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Shuka Uvacha. And in this series of chapters describing the Rasa Lila, and then Krishna's disappearance from that circle of Ras, and then the gopis searching out Krishna in the forest and finding two sets of footprints, one embellished with the emblems unique to Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, and the other Sri Krishna's lotus footprints. And Lalita Devi proclaimed that these are the footprints of Aradhana, speaking as if jealous of the good fortune of that one gopi who stole away Krishna from the midst of all the others, but really feeling great ecstasy that Krishna was alone with her. And Srila Shukadeva Goswami, whose Ishta Devi, favorite deity, is Srimati herself, in the anguish of deep separation, could not so much as utter her holy name, in fear that he would go so internal that his external senses would cease to function for up to 6 months. And Maharaj Parikshit only had a few days left to hear the completion of Srimad Bhagavatam. For that reason, Shukadev Goswami kept her name concealed. And yet he was unable to omit such an essential topic. So through the words of Lalita Devi, glorifying that one gopi who is Aradhana, meaning she has most perfectly worshipped Krishna because he has stolen her away, or rather she has stolen him away from the rest of all the other Vrijavasis. Because when she left the Rasa Lila, thinking that Krishna cannot enjoy the utmost pleasure in the assembly of these Shrutichari gopis and Munichari gopis, the Mahabhav, which he relishes, was eclipsed. And so, when she left Rasa Lila, Krishna could not derive any pleasure whatsoever from all the rest of the gopis, from all the Brijavasis, and from Vrindavan Dham herself. And thus Krishna had to leave the Rasa Lila also to pursue her. That which was revealed in a concealed manner in Srimad Bhagavatam, that grantha, the greatest of granthas, scriptures, which in its final verse of the last canto falls silent after extolling the glories of the holy name of the Lord, offers the opening of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which after the first 14 Sanskrit verses of invocation goes right into the heart of the matter, the essence of which the rest of Chaitanya Charitamrita is an elaboration and exposition. Desiring to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him which she alone can cherish truly, fully, and deeply through her love, and the sublime happiness she feels tasting the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her complexion and bhava, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi like the moon arising from the ocean. And then Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins to explain this verse. We know that Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12 cantos, begin from the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, as revealed in the first, and work their way up gradually to the 10th canto, which is likened to his smiling face. The 11th and 12th cantos offering Krishna's afterthoughts, which is really the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna's afterthoughts regarding his Braj Leela. Krishna contemplated, I am omniscient, I am omnipotent, I am the source of all knowledge and the source of all bliss. How is it that Srimati Radharani can experience more ecstasy than myself? What is it in me that attracts her? To such an extent that when a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of myself, she is so blinded by love that she tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the remnants left by myself, she merges so deeply in an ocean of joy that she forgets everything else. Krishna is considering, I'm the source of all knowledge, the source of all bliss. I cannot understand her love. I cannot experience the depth of her joy. This is a paradox. Because normally, the potency cannot exceed the potent source. But in the case of the relationship in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we see a reversal of this normal trend. And therefore, to understand her love for himself, to know something unknown to himself, Krishna had to adopt her sentiments and the luster of that bhav, which is golden, appearing as the son of Satchidevi. That which was sanctioned by Mahaprabhu who explained that the most worshipable shastra is the Srimad Bhagavatam. That sanctioned by Mahaprabhu, which was known intimately only to Sri Swarup Damodar, which was worshipped by Sanatana Goswami, adored and served by Srila Rupa Goswami, supported and protected by Shastric references compiled by Srila Jiva Goswami, and so perfectly relished and enhanced with its own realizations as personified by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, is that condensed essence of Srimad Bhagavatam which is revealed in more clarity in reverse proportion to the degradation of the age of Kali. And that itself is another paradox. How the holy name of Krishna, which is the very essence of all worship, is the only remedy for the evils and perils of this iron age. And there again, reflecting upon Krishna's own afterthoughts, he was thinking that his purpose in Braj Leela remained unfulfilled. Because where Krishna has a duty. And he was thinking of it in terms of a father towards his children. The living entities, my parts and parcels, are all my children. In my Braj Lila, I wanted everyone to experience the flavor of Braj Ras. But hardly anyone was able. Or as Srila Prabhupada explains it, if Lord Chaitanya was clearly Krishna and asked that we surrender unto him as he did toward the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, the envious souls of this world would refuse. Who is this personality asking us to surrender? In his own afterthoughts, he was contemplating, whatever great men do, others naturally tend to follow. So I will come as a devotee myself, and I will relish that Braj Bhakti in such a way as I can share it with all the world. And thus he came, richly imbued with these sentiments and the complexion of Sri Radha. So that the living entities could see, as Krishna wanted to see, what is it in me that's so attractive? We see how attractive is Krishna by how much Lord Gauranga is attracted to Krishna. And through the chanting of the holy name, he awards us the qualification to enter into that kirtan ras. Srila Narada Muni, visiting Goloka Vrindavan, noticed one time that everything was very pale and bleak, and he understood that Krishna has appeared on earth. So he came to the palace of Nanda Maharaj and felt such great ecstasy upon seeing his child Krishna. And Narada Muni was thinking, Krishna's internal potency must have taken birth in the house of some nearby gopi. And he was going home to home, being worshipped and received with such affection by all the Vrijavasis. When he came to the palace of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, and he asked, do you have any children? He said, yes, I have this son. And he brought out Sri Dhamma. And Narada Muni blessed him. Your son will play with Krishna day and night and be his best friend. You don't have any other children? And Vrishabhanu Maharaj, understanding that Narada Muni was aware of the truth, he said, I have one daughter, but she's blind. She is deaf and dumb and blind. But he was thinking possibly the darshan of this great sage could relieve her blindness. So he brought Narada Muni into her room, and he saw the baby on the ground, not exhibiting any symptoms of awareness of anything in the world, and understanding King Vrishabhanu's heart. I have this daughter who has come to fulfill my prayers and aspirations and deepest yearning, but how can I raise her and inspire her and nurture her and hug her and encourage her if she's unaware of anything of this world? So Narda Muni, seeing the baby on the ground, offered his dandavats to her, picked her up in his lap, and began to offer prayers, which were a combination of Madhurya and Aishwarya. The Aishwarya could not disturb the parental mood of Vrishabhana Maharaj, and all he could hear was the sweet affection in Narda's words. And then Narada Muni told King Vrishabhanu, the blindness that your daughter is experiencing cannot be cured by the demigods or the sages, including myself. The only cure will be found if you host a feast and feed all the Vrijavasis, knowing very well that King Vrishabhanu's best friend is Nanda Maharaj. So he sent out the word and invited everyone to attend his feast. And when Nanda saw Vrishabhanu Maharaj and they embraced with such brotherly affection, and when Mother Yashoda embraced Kirtida after placing Krishna down on the ground, he crawled right over to Srimati Radharani's little bed, climbed up, and as little children tend to do, he reached out and touched her eyes. And they fluttered and opened according to her request previously in Goloka Vrindavan. When the demigods all prayed to Sri Krishna to descend and relieve this world of the burden of the unnecessary defense forces accumulated by the militant kings who are posing as kshatriyas but were actually such miscreants. And Krishna said, I will. And Srimati Radharani began to cry. How can I live without you? He said, you'll come with me. But I don't want to see anyone other than you. And I cannot reside in a world where there is no shade of Govardhan, no flow of Jamuna, and no Vrindavan forest. And he said, look, they've already descended and they're waiting for us to come. Previously, Suchandra, who's an Amsavatar of Sri Krishna, married Kalabati, the mind-born daughter of the Pitas, Pitraloka, headed by the grandson of Kashyapa and Aditi. After the marriage of Suchandra and Kalabati, they performed such severe tapasya for thousands of years that Suchandra was reduced to a skeleton residing inside an anthill. And when Brahma, who was the object of his tapasya, appeared and cleared away the anthill and saw the skeleton and asked him, what benediction do you desire? He said, I want liberation. But Kalabati said, I don't want him to be liberated. As a wife, I should agree with his wishes, but what will become of me if he's liberated? And what is liberation? So Brahma awarded the benediction, you go to the heavenly planets and then return to earth. And here on earth, they were unable to conceive children until late on in their lives. And this caused them increased distress. And they performed every type of tapasya and puja, and archana, and pilgrimage, and charity, all to no avail. They remained without children. Kalavati suggested to her husband that he worship Devi Katyayani, which he did, with great tapasya again. And on the bank of Jamuna, who is the daughter of the sun god, he heard a celestial voice explaining to him that no puja, no process of self-realization, or anything of merit is fruitful and complete without the chanting of the holy name. He approached Kratu Muni, whose ashram was on the bank of Jamuna, and asked him for initiation. And Kratu Muni told him to chant this one Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He began chanting that mantra. And his worshipable deity, Katyayani Devi, appeared to him and asked, what is the benediction you desire? And he said, having your darshan, all my desires are fulfilled. But if you're aware of something deeper in my heart and desire to fulfill that, I am your servant. She gave him the golden oval box, and he returned home. And today, at 12 noon, from that box appeared the daughter he desired, Gokuleshwari. There are so many versions of her appearance in this world, due to the different kalpas and different rasas and different perspectives. Srila Prabhupada told it very simply, that when King Vrishabhanu was plowing the field in preparation of a yajna, in the furrow, exactly the way the Sita Devi herself appeared, was this beautiful golden baby, who he took home to Kalavati and said, look. And she asked, where did you find this child? When I was plowing the field, she appeared in the furrow. Narada Muni explained, Vrishabhanu Maharaj, that the sweetness of her baby pastimes would enchant all the world. And toward the end of her book, Pagunda Lila, Sri Krishna himself expounded her glories in a very condensed manner. Feeling overwhelmed with love for her, even as a baby child, Sri Krishna explained to her that the essence of all worship is to please you. The essence of all mantras are those containing your holy names. And anyone who tries to approach or worship me independent of you will be doomed to failure and cannot award me any pleasure and cannot achieve any success in his own spiritual pursuits. You are so glorious and foremost amongst the gopis that even Jashoda Devi will clasp your lotus feet as her only hope and treasure. Srimati Radharani was appalled to hear that. She said, Krishna, you're such a debauchee. You're a liar. I don't believe. How can you say that our worshipable mother would clasp my lotus feet? I don't believe you, Krishna. You will see. Shortly thereafter, there was a big festival going on in one Brijabasi's house. And everyone was singing and dancing, and Krishna was dancing in their midst. And hearing all the excitement and ecstasy Mother Desoda was drawn, and very surprised, because she had left Krishna in bed to take a nap after his long day of herding cows. And she became angry. And she asked Srimati Radharani, how could you bring Krishna here? How could you wake him up from the rest he needs after a long day of herding cows and bring him here and make him dance? And Srimati Radharani, she didn't say anything, but her sakis explained to Mother Yashoda, this is not your Krishna. This is our Krishna. And she said, what do you mean? She said, you think there's only one Krishna in all the world? You have your Krishna, and we have our Krishna. Mother Yashoda said, I don't know if I can believe you, because he looks just like my child, and he dances like my child, and he speaks like him, and he has the same affection, and I can't believe that this is not my Krishna. And the Sakis told her, go home and look in Krishna's bed and see what you find. She went home and found Krishna sleeping just as she had left him. And she came back to the Vrijabhasi's house and said, this is wonderful. What if our two Krishnas could meet together and dance together? And he said, yes, bring your Krishna to meet our Krishna and we'll see them dance. But there's a problem. What if we lose track of which Krishna is whose? And Srimati Radharani said, Mother Yashoda said, that's not a difficult problem. We'll just put a mark of chandan on your Krishna's forehead, and that will distinguish him from my Krishna. And so, yes, that solves everything. So she woke up Krishna and brought him to Vrijabhasi's house. And they resumed the kirtan. And everyone was so mesmerized to see the two Krishnas dancing together. So mesmerized they were that they didn't notice that in the course of their dancing, the two Krishnas merged into one form. And then when it was time to take Krishna to bed, and Mother Yashoda tried to take Srimati Radharani, said, look at his forehead. It's like a white moon with the backdrop of a dark mountain. This is my Krishna. And Mother Yashoda became frantic. Where is my Krishna? Srimati Radharani, you are a thief. You have stolen my Krishna. You're tricky. Where did you put him? And Srimati Radharani said, this house is surrounded by a wall. Your Krishna just disappeared. But you can't take my Krishna, because my Krishna is different than yours. And Mother Yashoda said, I don't see any difference. And Srimati Radharani said, there is. Your Krishna is totally dedicated to herding cows and pleasing you. But our Krishna is most experienced in Prema-tattva, which you cannot experience in Nanda Maharaj's household, where Vatsalya Bhav predominates. So hearing this, Mother Yashoda is becoming frantic. Where is Krishna? Where has he gone? And she fell at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and clasped her lotus feet. Where is Krishna? And then Krishna smiled at her as if to say, remember what I told you? Remember what I predicted? And then Mother Yashoda fell unconscious, clasping Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. And before she fell into a swoon, she pleaded that now I'm dying. I'm giving up my life. I will surely perish if you don't give me back my Krishna. And then when she fell unconscious and her life seemed to be slipping away from her, Srimati Radharani was frantic and told Krishna, your mother who carried you in her womb, who delivered you, who nurtured you, who cared for you, she's dying before our eyes. What will you do? And Krishna said, she's not dying. You know what to do. And Srimati Radharani whispered into Mother Yashoda's ears that your Krishna is back. And she opened her eyes, and all she could see was the Krishna with the white mark of Chandan on his forehead. This is not my Krishna, this is your Krishna. What do you mean that my Krishna's back? She said, go home and look in his bed. She went home and looked in Krishna's bed, and he was sleeping very soundly. The purport of this pastime is that there are different forms of Srimati Radharani. There's the doctrinal Radha, the folk Radha, and then what we're most interested in is Srila Prabhupada's Radha. Because it was right at this time of year, September 13th, just shortly after Janmashtami, in the midst of the Atlantic Ocean, on a small, black, weather-beaten cargo ship, where Srila Prabhupada revealed the depths, revealed the treasure in the depths of his heart, which only later became revealed to all the world. That which Srimad Bhagavatam expands, and Chaitanya Charitamrita does so further, and is echoed and amplified through the parampara as time and generations passed, was condensed into one crystal, one line, which formed the refrain of the verses of his prayers to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote, I emphatically say unto you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. And then in 1968, Montreal, when there was one Indian Mataji who wanted to read from Ramcharita Manasa of Tulsidas, and Srila Prabhupada introduced the lady that this nice devoted lady is going to read the glories of Lord Ramachandra. So he introduced her as if she was going to give the class. And then he mentioned that today is Radhastami. And then he seemed to forget everything else. And explaining the glories of Srimati Radharani, toward the end of his lecture, he explained that when Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakti Prachati, if you offer me little fruit, flower, or water, I'll accept it. We should know that Srimati Radharani is the source of all devotion. So we should take that flower, Srila Prabhupada said, and place it in Srimati Radharani's hand with a prayer, O Jagat Mata, O Mother of all creation. Please this is a very essential aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Those who worship Sri Vishnu are known as Vaishnavas. Those who worship Krishna are called Karshanas. And those who worship Srimati Radharani are known as Gaudiyas. It's a very confidential matter, and it's very exalted. And we keep it high above our heads, and we talk about such matters only so that we do not take them cheaply and either become sahaja or take Krishna consciousness to be like another religion of this world for which there is no need. When Sri Krishna desires to enjoy, he expands his pleasure potency, who takes birth right at this moment. Mm-hmm. And then he experiences that there's only pleasure in relationships. He furthermore experiences that his pleasure potency offers him so much love and devotion and worship that he cannot assimilate it. And he has to expand, and he's forever expanding more to reciprocate and experience and assimilate her love. And she further expands, Mahabhav, Swarupini, expands as he Astasakis, who are the individual bhavas. And through the line of Sri Rupa, Rupa Manjri, the dedicated, selfless servant of Sri Lalita Devi, the very emblem, not of selfless service exactly, because in this material world, all service is motivated by selfish desire. In the spiritual world, devotion is selfless. And amongst the Brijabasis, their devotion is self-forgetful. They know only Krishna's pleasure. And they know that Krishna derives no pleasure separate from the internal pleasure-giving potency, who takes birth today at noon, or just did 1 minute ago. Which means that this day, as this kund, is the deity of Srimati Radharani, or more precisely, the predominated moiety, half of the deity, comprising the absolute truth, Sri Sri Radha Krishna. She is the source of all devotion. Ado Shraddha Tada Sadhu Sango Tabajna Kriya, after which we experience Anarta Nirviti, and then Nishta, then Ashakti, then Bhava, and then Prem. But know for certain that from the initial seed of faith, it is only the gift, the blessing, the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the sweet flavor of that initial faith. And from that, Adho Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, the sweet flavor of learning how to properly associate with devotees, that sweetness is the gift only of Srimati Radharani. And from Sadhu Sangha, Adho Shraddha Tata Sadhu, Bhajana Kriya, you learn how to properly worship, taking instruction and initiation from the spiritual master. You learn how to properly worship, and the sweet flavor of that worship is nothing but the grace, the mercy, and the love shared through the line of Sri Rupa, emanating from the wellspring of all devotion, Srimati Radharani. And learning how to properly worship, when that worship becomes mature, and we experience that anarchanaviti, the lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, selfishness, egotism in the heart begins to dissipate as our devotion becomes fixed. That is only the gift of Srimati Radharani. And from anarchanaviti, then nishta, we become fixed in devotion, and nothing can sway us. And a shakti, affection, the gift of Srimati Radharani shared with all parts and parcels who assist in her worship. Then ruchi, the taste of that flavor of devotion. Bhava, the emotion, which is like the flowers preliminary to the ripened fruit of prema. We should know for certain that from the beginning of the initial seed of faith to the ripened fruit of prema bhakti, it is all the mercy of Srimati Radharani. We cannot have an independent relationship with Krishna. We cannot possibly offer him anything pleasing or affectionate without the gift of Srimati Radharani. How to serve, how to approach, how to worship Srimati Radharani. The line of Sri Rupa is most special and sacred, because the Manjaris are the most selfless, the most self-forgetful, the most innocent, and the most competent to share the gift of recruiting and enlisting others in the ever-expanding pleasure potency of Krishna. The spiritual master is identified by Srila Prabhupada as both the representative of Lord Nityananda or the representative of Srimati Radharani. What is the relationship? Sri Baladev and Sri Nityananda Ram are both the Adi Guru. The Lord Nityananda offers more than Baladev can, because he offers Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Sri Radha and Krishna combined. There's an outer circle of loving servitors who are trained in sadhana, in Vaidhi Bhakti. We worship Lord Gauranga in Shanta and Dasya Ras only. Vaidhi Bhakti, as taught in the line of Sri Rupa and delivered to all the world by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, is a part of Raganuga, not different from it. When our Vaidhi becomes very mature, very fixed, very sincere, then gradually Mahaprabhu of Nadia, who can only be worshipped in Shanta and Dasiras, opens the inner circle of Radha and Krishna's servitors in Braja, which are served in Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. But none of the rasas of Braja are free. free from at least being imbued with Madeira, which is a sweet flavor of Shimati Radharani's love. So as Gautama Muni explained to King Vrishabhanu, when he was desirous of that daughter who would be Gokuleshwari, the mantra which awards her birth, it's not really a mantra, because a mantra is a prayer of invocation containing the holy name couched within it. The Maha Mantra is not exactly a prayer. Srila Prabhupada said we chant it in the mood of a prayer. Oh, internal energy of the Lord, please offer me the service of Krishna. But it's not really a prayer. We should chant the Maha Mantra in the mood of a prayer. But what is the Maha Mantra? Why is it more glorious? Why is it the only antidote for all the evils and perils of this degraded age? How can the most offensive living entities, as found in the Kali Yuga, who are so prone to offend sadhus, for which the only remedy is the shelter of the holy name? What is exclusive about this Maha Mantra? It begins with Hare, who is Radhe, the thief who steals away Krishna. She steals the heart of Sri Krishna with the aspiration to share the heart of Sri Krishna with all the world. And that service of enlisting and recruiting others, which is the line of Sri Rupa, who understood the innermost desires of Lord Gauranga, has been clarified. That message of Sri Rupa coming down through Parampara, echoing and amplifying the heart of Lord Gauranga, approached the Western world in 1965, when on September 13th, on a small, black, weather-beaten cargo ship, the ambassador of the spiritual world, the innermost regions of the spiritual world, the sweet and holy groves of Braja, feeling deep separation from his lords, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, but finding solace only in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, taking his Gurudev's instructions upon his head to deliver this message to the Western world. He approached Boston Harbor with the refrain to his prayers, I emphatically say unto you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So being that the spiritual master who represents Baladev in terms of the outer circle, but when Lord Nityananda's recommendation to Srimati Radharani awards us entrance into the inner circle, where we see the spiritual master as the representative of Srimati Radharani. So how to please her on her birthday? Becoming the servant
of the servant, of the maidservant, of that only pleasure-giving potency emanating and expanding ever through Srimati Radharani and through her loving servitors. For us, the Senapati Bhakta being is Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, whose Samadhi Mandir Shri Radha Gopinath are looking at through this portal as he looks back in this way towards them. And why are we offering this unfinished structure as a birthday present on this sacred day? Because 40 years ago, Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction that you must begin immediately to build the temples of Vrindavan here in New Vrindavan, the seven temples of the Goswamis on the hills of Vrindavan. He said 40 years ago, this is the anniversary, 40 years when he said begin immediately. So though a little delayed, and though not finished, this is our humble beginnings to please be servant of the parampara, which represents the maid servants of that internal pleasure-giving potency, without which there is no offering pleasure or worship to Krishna. If we pursue an independent relationship with Krishna, our service will go to hell. Because we're tiny, insignificant, infinitesimal jivas. How much love can we offer to Krishna, and how much of his love can we assimilate in reciprocation? Irrelevant, insignificant. If our service and our worship is offered to Srila Prabhupada, who offers it in the line of Sri Rupa, where it goes to Srimati Radharani, and then, as Srila Prabhupada said, please remind your Krishna of me. And then Srila Prabhupada said, however foolish rascal you may be, Srimati Radharani will tell Krishna that this devotee is better than me, and you should accept him. This temple is being offered as her birthday present in its unfinished state to emphasize that this is just the beginning of a process that will continue forever and expand forever through the infinite love of these servants, of the maid servants of the pleasure-giving potency, which takes birth today in the beautiful form of the baby child of Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Srimati Vrishabhanu Nandini, Sri Radha, and Anuradha Vishaka, who took birth at the exact same instant. This is the finished temple which is being offered. That we will all share in honoring this temple offering. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Joined by Sarada Swami Maharaj ki jai. Srila Gopinath ki jai. Srila Rastami Mahotsava ki jai.